Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at
Well, we got a leftovers-themed Rotten Tomatoes game, news, and hot-breaking horse news. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time for the most epic weekend of the year. Saturday, June 18th, it's the Carolla Family Barbecue 2022. Head over to Carolla Drinks to be the first to get your tickets to the Carolla Family Barbecue. This year, headlined by the band Lit. Your ticket includes booze, barbecue, bands, and of course, time to hang out with the Carolla family, all the lackeys, and some of your favorite friends and comedians on the show. Don't wait to buy tickets to this event because it will sell out. Wine Case Club members are automatically guaranteed tickets. And if you're in the mood to make a weekend out of it, join Lynette and all your favorite lackeys for the Mangria Bar Crawl Los Angeles the night before the barbecue. All tickets and information can be found online at CarollaDrinks.com.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Gossip names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Well, it's been just over a week since Thanksgiving, and even though it's a bit later than normal, it's been our tradition the last couple of years to play a leftovers-themed round of the Rotten Tomatoes game while you enjoy your leftovers. Because believe it or not, we write an extra tiebreaker round for every single Rotten Tomatoes game we play, but since no one ever ties, no one ever gets to hear them. Until now.
Nice.
Back in May, during the week of the Kentucky Derby, we decided to do a round of movies featuring horses.
Can I say this? I watched as much as I could watch of the first part of the Beatles.
Oh, us too.
It should just be called, you watched the Beatles smoke in a room with no furniture.
Yes.
Listen, I'm a long-form guy. I like it organic. I've been watching the shit out of a lot of music-themed.
Uh-huh.
I watched the Queen doc where they got Adam Lambert in there. I've been up in the musical docs. I was having trouble.
They left nothing out.
It was like literally, I get it. It's very interesting. Yes. They're geniuses. You get to be a fly on the wall and see some of the process. But just seeing Ringo just sitting on a riser smoking the entire time.
I can't wait.
And none of this helps Ringo's argument at all. Because Ringo had a kind of an interesting thread in his life. So started off as sort of Ringo being the joke, you know, like, oh, he didn't contribute anything.
He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Well, what we do is we beat him up for a while, and then at some point, we do what we always do. It's like, he's a really good drummer. People don't understand. Right, yeah. And then everyone went the other direction. Like, oh, he's a great drummer.
He's underrated.
He went from bad drummer and doing nothing to a great drummer, and he's been enjoying that for the last several years. But this isn't helping because everyone else is like in a huddle.
Yeah.
And he's just smoking, kinda sitting
watching.
On a drum kit, just sort of looking like when you guys arrive at some sort of song.
Let me know what you want me to do.
Let me know. And then I can do the flam tap here.
You're totally right about that. But you know who they get absolutely 100% accurate? Yoko.
Yeah.
She takes her chair, puts it in the center of the room, and is like looking at papers and eating pastries and annoying everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's rough to watch that, man.
It's interesting, but I mean, maybe it's just me. But it seems like they could have tightened it up a little bit.
Yeah, there is nothing on that cutting room floor. You are supposed to be like a fly on the wall in a full day.
Well, it was supposed to be like a 2-hour theatrical feature.
Right.
No, oh. It's a 6-hour.
Okay. Well,
they left it all
slog.
In.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
So our tiebreaker film from that horses
and
round.
Ringo can't go. Oh, they cut out the part where I was spitballing and contributing and throwing in my 2 cents because they cut nothing out. So he cannot make that argument.
Part where I wrote "Let It Be" start to finish.
Right.
The film was originally adapted to be a stage show featuring a
show? Sorry,
I'll tell you. Featuring a life-sized wooden horse controlled like a puppet. Director Steven Spielberg was so moved by the live performance, he immediately decided that it had to be his next film, though he replaced the puppet with an actual horse. The epic World War I film features a mostly British cast, including Emily Watson, David Thewlis, and Tom Hiddleston. From 2011, War Horse.
I saw the stage show at the Dorothy Chandler, I want to say, or the Amundsen, and that was spectacular. Did people respond to the movie, though?
One of the few Spielberg movies I have not seen.
No, me neither, or neither. But speaking of horses, isn't it this time of year that we're supposed to see all those billboards and commercials for like the Arabian horses,
the
greatest show?
Oh.
No, it's not the Clydesdales. It's something out of Egypt or some Middle East, like the whatever horses, the most spectacular. Wayne Newton says it's the most entertained he's ever been.
I believe that.
You guys, but
is it
just me?
Is this a cable news thing?
It comes on billboards. Oh. I've seen it. It's like it comes around Christmas time. It's, I don't know, Arabian horses stage show or it's horse not, stage show or it's like.
I mean, there's one in Scottsdale. Does that sound?
What's it called?
The Scottsdale Arabian Horse Show.
No.
This is like
a really wide net to cast.
It's sort of like when they would advertise it like Snoopy on Ice, but for Bill Shatner.
I don't think
people love horses.
I don't think that's allowed anymore.
Is that localized to your neighborhood? Because you live in an equestrian area.
That's true. Now, I've seen the billboards around, I don't know, Hollywood horse billboard or something.
Yeah, none of us in here have ever heard of it either.
Oh, it's out. It's a thing.
I don't think that's really like...
I know it's a thing because I think I'm definitely not going to that. And if I have a thought, I have one of two thoughts that make me remember shit. I either go, I'm in or I'm out.
But you know how like we don't do animals in the circus anymore? Maybe this is like a thing, a bygone era now.
It may not be attached to Christmas, but it seems like it comes around the holidays. Mm. It's definitely a billboard and it definitely has a sort of Middle Eastern Arabian Nightsy kind of theme to it.
Okay.
And it's with horses and it's a show and I don't know where they do it and I can't remember what it's called,
Riverside.
But it's like Sabato, the Lord of the Horse or something. It's out. You'll find it and then I'll be Google me right. All right, go ahead.
War Sorry. Horse.
War Horse.
Remember the radio campaign for this? War Horse.
I don't. Thankfully, that sounds horrible.
That sounds like Mr. Ed.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
I have, you know, English accents, good actors, World War I.
Spielberg.
Horse, Spielberg's kind of hard
like
to go.
It feels like it has a floor. You know what I mean? Like it just can't be bad.
How can it be below 55? It's got all the elements, right?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was not celebrated.
No.
What year, Dawson?
2011.
All right.
You're making me second guess myself.
I'm going to say barely fresh at 61.
A little higher at 71.
75.
War Horse is certified fresh at 74%.
All right.
And the people at 74.
Look at that.
All right.
Earlier this year, when Danny Trejo returned to the podcast, we played a game with movies that featured that iconic actor. In the tiebreaker film that we never got to, a career-driven magazine editor is separated from her boyfriend when a powerful storm forces her plane to make an emergency landing. While she does not get along with her cantankerous pilot at first, they learn to set aside their differences in order to find a way home. Anne Heche, Harrison Ford, David Schwimmer, And don't forget Danny Trejo star in 1998's 6 Days, 7 Nights.
We talked about this with her.
Yeah.
He went to bat for her, she said.
Mm-hmm.
Someone famous directed this. Danny Boyle or some British director. No, Guy Ritchie?
I don't know. We can look into it. Not a good movie. This is...
How is it characterized? Ivan Reitman. Is it characterized as like an adventure or a comedy or both?
It was a romantic comedy adventure.
Okay.
Romancing the Stone kind of thing.
Jewel of the Night.
Yeah. It's that trope as old as time. You know, she would never go for this guy. Mm. Uh-huh. And
ruggedly handsome pilot.
Right. But...
screen icon.
Yeah.
It's probably a shitty script. You probably got Harrison Ford because he got to be a pilot.
Yeah.
And he probably just is attracted to that.
Okay.
All right. It can't be good. This is Reitman on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of done with Reitman. Maybe Anne Heche was sort of on the way up or something. Yeah. I'm going to say they didn't like it at 39.
Right there with you. 41.
51.
6 Days, 7 Nights is rotten at 38.
Oh, shit. So far, two people have been
off. People at 36.
That's not good.
Not good.
During awards season, we featured movies that won the Oscar for Best Makeup and Hairstyling. The film we didn't get to brought the makeup award into the future, implementing incredible digital technology to create the effect of a man who mysteriously ages backwards.
I hate this movie.
I love this movie.
Brad Pitt stars and David Finchner directs the 2008 film, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Why do you hate this?
You're not alone.
There are people who hate this movie.
I thought it was long and boring and then soul-crushingly sad. And I hate feeling both of those emotions. Yeah,
Christina saw this in theater, and there may have been tears on both of our faces as we watched.
The end is violently sad, and the rest of the movie is boring.
I haven't seen it for this exact reason.
Yeah.
People going, you got to see it. A lot of people going, you shouldn't see it. It didn't attract me. The theme didn't pull me in. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting. I think it was well received. Probably had good notices.
Yeah, and I'm not shitting on even like the special effects or anything. You know, things are where they are. That's fine. But the story is just, it wasn't for me.
It was, does he start old and get young?
Yeah. Yes.
He starts as an old baby. Like he lives a life where he dies, you know, after 80 years, but he's an old baby with wrinkles and he can't walk.
Yeah.
And then by the time he dies, he is a baby.
But Brian, don't you agree with me that the ending was torture.
Oh, yeah. It was
soul-crushing torture.
But I found it beautiful.
Oh, I couldn't watch it.
Well, why wouldn't he start as an old man?
He kind of did.
Like a wrinkly little old baby.
He was born out of a woman's vagina, so he's like, you know, 8 pounds, but he's a wrinkled,
he looks like an old man. And then by the end of his life, he looks like a toddler, and I cannot even say anymore without crying.
All right. So let's see.
I thought it was beautiful.
Chris, find those horses. I'm telling you. Billboards, L.A., horses, seen them.
The curious case of maybe horse memory.
Maybe it's commercials. I don't know. It's what are you typing in?
Both Arabian horse commercial, billboards, events, Los Angeles billboards, like everything. Like
maybe it's not Arabian horses. Maybe it's a different kind of horse. Maybe that's it.
Now, this is a situation where usually it's like I love a movie that's bad, so I can't decide. I thought everyone loved this movie, and I fucking hate it. So I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I don't know what to think either. It was nominated, right, for things?
Oh, it won the Oscar for Best Makeup and Hairstyling.
That's not the same.
Yeah, that's not the same.
I don't even know what to do.
I don't. So I say people liked it at 79.
Nominated for, I believe, 12 Oscars, including Best Picture.
Oh, that would have helped.
Yeah, probably. But you
not,
know
it's not
about,
on my thing to read
don't
here.
Know as much
I don't. That's not the game.
All right, it's not the game.
There were people who didn't like this, so I'm going to say 86.
Yeah, I went against my personal feeling and said I remember people lost their shit over it. I said 88.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button is certified fresh. That's 71%.
Oh, interesting.
And the people at 80.
Wait, you can be certified at 71? I never heard of that. Have we ever done that before?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Like when it's fresh or certified fresh?
I think certified fresh is the number
just
of
the
fresh
number
reviews.
Of.
Oh, I always thought it was had to be above 80 or something.
No, it's just that you get a number of fresh reviews.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Once you get above 60 and above 50, I don't know. I got the Hammer certified fresh. I don't remember what the hell that 50, maybe 60, 50 reviews. 60.
Oh no, sorry, 60%.
Right, and then X amount of reviews.
All right, well, I feel certified. Somewhat vindicated by this score.
Well, who could forget Adam's trip to Alaska?
You guys remember? Was it Frank Stallone who was back there, back of the shop, who was looking at the certified fresh? They give you, at some plot. Point, everything became lucite.
Oh.
You know, everything used to be bronze. Mm-hmm. Then it was like lucite. Right. You'd win cups and things. Now it's just a piece of cutout lucite. But was it Frank Stallone who was back there? And he looked at the certified fresh of the Hammer, and I think he was kind of laughing because he thought it was like a Razzie.
Oh.
You know, he was like, oh, yeah. They get to everybody. Believe me, I've had a few of those. And I was like, no, that's a good. He's like, oh, yeah, I bet it is. Good attitude. You got to have that, attitude.
Time.
Yeah, and he just like walked away from it. Never felt more depleted in my life.
So certified fresh is you have to have at least 80 reviews.
80 reviews.
And you have to have 75% or better.
What?
But after you earn that status, it will stay certified until you drop below 70.
There we go.
Oh, it's so that's right.
Fluctuated.
Wow. Into the back door, Benjamin Button.
I did not know that. Yeah.
I love this movie.
Well, who could forget Adam's trip to Alaska? Back then, we featured movies set in Alaska, but never got to discuss this film, which dealt with two Los Angeles detectives traveling to Alaska during a time of perpetual daylight to solve a recent murder. Between directing films Memento and Batman Begins, Christopher Nolan made this psychological cat-and-mouse thriller with Al Pacino and Hilary Swank in an unusual move, cast Robin Williams as the villain. From 2002, Insomnia.
You guys have movies like Leaving Las Vegas where it's like, that's a good movie. I never, ever want to see that frame of it again.
Yes.
This is well made by Christopher Nolan, but my God, is it a dreary slog.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's 2 hours of Twilight.
I had to watch a movie called Slept In 3 times just to get it out of my system.
I thought we watched every Christopher Nolan movie over the summer, and we didn't get to this.
I got to it. I'm with Brian. Like, it's good, but you never want to see it again. Although nobody does tired like Al Pacino. I think
he looks weary.
It was perfect. Like, he looks tired. It's good. I just got a little Simple Plan type thing to it, which is it's a good movie. It's a small movie.
Inspired choice of Robin Williams as the serial killer or the suspected, you know, villain, whatever.
I don't think the critics could be too tough on this one.
But as Brian always says, nobody's ever told me you've got to watch Insomnia.
No, I agree.
Let's see.
All right.
No idea. Hold on. Okay.
All right. I got 74.
76.
73.
Insomnia. Certified fresh at 92%.
Shit.
Wow. Yeah, it's well made and it checks all the boxes and it's you know, my master filmmaker, but my God, is it not fun?
People have it at 77 and we all went low.
Wow.
But it didn't really change any of our outcomes because we're all in the same cluster.
Finally. On Super Bowl weekend, we talked about movies that feature past or current NFL players. And if we'd made it to the tiebreaker round, we would have had the chance to talk about the most polarizing man in the NFL. Love him or hate him, Tom Brady appears as himself opposite Mark Wahlberg and a foul-mouthed stuffed animal in 2015's Ted 2.
Yeah, I don't remember Ted 2.
Interesting.
I don't remember Tom
Ted
Brady.
2. All right.
Ted was great.
Because Ted was probably great. On 80-ish percent, and I have no fucking idea with this one.
Well, I went and saw the original Ted with Seth MacFarlane invited me to go to like a little screening, a little kind of notes screening, like get people that write, get people that are creative, and, you know, sometimes people workshop a little, like what you want to do or what you think. That was kind of fun.
Wasn't that before it was totally animated correctly, or was that something else?
Yeah. I was like, once in a while I see the tennis ball with the stick, you know, walking around or whatever. But it made it fun. Seemed like you're on the inside. Mm-hmm. Now, so here's the thing. movies like this, so it was an incredible movie. I mean, it's funny, made a bunch of money, blah, blah, blah. Now you have to come out with part two because of the success of part one. Mm. But the problem is it's really all about the newness of it. It's the novelty. The novelty. Oh, it's got a bear gun. When they get to two, just kind of like Jaws 2, it's like, well, now we've kind of seen it. And now we're in trouble because so much of it is about the innovative novelty of whatever. And now we're just going on and it's tough. And I think critics do it accordingly, even though I'm sure the movie had a bunch of laughs in it. But
the laughs per minute was probably very acceptable.
You get over it, and then you also get accused of sort of cashing in.
Yeah.
Now, look, this is a fairly tight game, I would think.
I would say so.
You know, if I wasn't distracted looking for Arabian horses, I feel like I'd really be dominating right now. But I still have to I think it's pretty tight.
Game time. Here we go.
This is a movie that could go pretty low, but Wahlberg's always great. Seth MacFarlane's funny. He's not going to write a clunker. It's not going to not be funny.
But how much are they going to get punished for making a sequel?
Yes. Yes and yes. And for that reason, I say 44%.
Mm. I went lower. I think the critics killed this at 34.
49.
Mm. We have a 5-point deduction. Ted 2 is rotten at 44%.
Oh, come on!
He did that.
Oh, that could have sealed the deal.
It did.
I'm angry.
Do a tiebreaker?
Wow.
For the tiebreaker?
No tiebreaker today.
Oh, 55.
Hmm? Chris looking for them horses. Distracted. Focus, boy.
Gina Grad, congratulations. Your score of 55 puts you firmly on the podium.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bald Brian coming in with 47, leaving us Adam Carolla with your score. You are second to no one.
Yes!
You win with 35.
Wow.
Boom.
What a moment for you. What a 15 seconds.
Victory upon victory upon victory.
Cavalia.
Everything is coming. I have seen this.
And I think this
I know
a,
you've seen it. It's in LA. They do it everywhere.
I think this is a Cirque thing.
Yeah. No,
the greatest show I've ever seen, Larry King from CNN. Now, what did I say it was called? Cavallino or something?
You didn't provide a name. You just said it's like an Arabian horse show.
No, I said at some point I shat out what it could be called or something. You know, some sound like a cologne from the 80s or something.
This is one of the founders of Cirque. It's called Cavalia. We've seen this billboard a billion times.
You know what's weird? I never put two and two together. This is like a horse show.
Yeah.
I thought it was like some play or something.
It's not only a horse show. It's the greatest show I've ever seen. So says dead Larry King. Downtown Burbank.
Where?
That's not too far from here.
Now you got to keep looking into this. So
it's always a random tent.
Yeah, it's just a horse show. I don't know if it's a holiday.
That's an 866 number.
It says what's the date? Is it?
Oh,
it says,
it's labeled as an equestrian ballet.
I told you. You guys have all seen these things because you're in LA and you have a windshield in your car.
Cavalia.
It's out there.
Delightful, thrilling, and poignant.
Is it a holiday thing then? Ooh, we're going to watch.
Oh, sweet.
Oh,
turn up
horses.
That juice.
Do you like horses or
running
do you love horses? Oh, majestic. Oh, people swinging, people dancing,
carousing,
horses running, not shitting. Just, I don't know if you. There must be step has to be factored in. I don't know what they do. Oh, that's it's got the Cirque du Soleil thing. Mm-hmm.
And they do like a dazzling world of lights during the holidays. And it's in December, end of November.
There you go.
It's the holiday horse show. This is guy. Everyone's trying to gaslight me. None of you will rest until I kill myself. I've got 11 people going.
None of us said it didn't exist.
You made me question myself. This, by the way, I'm now in. This is majestic.
A feast for the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're doing the Rockettes thing.
On horses. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Oh, the command. The majestic art. They're jumping. They're beautiful women. People are fit. Oh, the guy with a hoop and a horse. Come on now.
Don't put the horse in the hoop.
I don't know who I'm more impressed by.
When is this going off? Is it local? Is
feast
it out here?
Senses.
I've given these guys a 14-minute commercial. They should throw they should comp me. I should get a couple of drink tickets and like a balcony. You know, I don't need to be in the pit.
No.
But I don't need a suite, but I need a couple of seats for this thing. All right. We will... I don't have the spot, Chris. Whatever spot Kaylin's supposed to bring in.
Oh, we'll run it in right now.
Indo. That was more majestic than I ever remembered.
Oh, if you saw that commercial as a kid, your head would explode.
I'm trying to think if I just saw the billboards or I saw the commercials too. Thanks.
I definitely the billboard for me.
I think they may have had different billboards as well, Max Panikin.
They may be closed due to COVID.
Ooh, you can go to the extraordinary VIP outing.
Mm.
That's what you need.
All right, let me tell you guys about Indochino. End of the year is a great time to look your best and take a look in the closet, figure out what's working, what's not working. Indochino, get your closet where you want it to be before the new year. Or you can gift a wardrobe upgrade to someone you care about with their Indochino gift cards. Their stuff is great. I wear it. Their blazer I wear all the time. I've worn it on Kimmel quite a few times. The stuff is just nice. It works. Completely custom fitted suits, shirts, casual wear. And I think I wore one of their suits on my last stand-up special I did. Affordable prices. Every piece is made to your exact measurement, and you can customize every detail. Indochino's suits start from just $4.29, and the shirts from $79 with all the customizations included. So look sharp and look custom. It's Indochino, right, Dawson?
Give yourself a custom closet revamp with Indochino or give the gift card of great style with an Indochino gift card. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code Adam at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code Adam.
All right, quick break. Come back with the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, we have a bit of breaking news as we record this. I'm sure everybody will be all over it on when you hear this. Former Senator Bob Dole died on Sunday, age of 98.
Wow.
That was according to the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. The former presidential candidate said earlier this year that he had been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. His government service began in 1971 when he was the Republican national chairman, culminated in 1996 as the GOP presidential nominee in the election that Bill Clinton won. Dole holds the record as the Senate's longest serving Republican leader, a post he held for nearly 11 years.
Well, he started his public service in the Navy, probably, or the Air Force, I think. I think he fought in World War II, right? Yeah.
Yeah, government service.
I'll look at that as service or government service.
Paychecks as government.
Plane got shot down or he crashed. He had to ditch. You guys know that story?
No, and I'm from Kansas. I should know more about
it. Maybe there's a George Bush thing I'm mixing up here, but I thought Dole was a pilot, too. We can see if he was.
Well, and you know who always did a great Bob Dole?
Oh, Norm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember if he was. I think he was a pilot. I think it was. I think he has a World War II connection, but we'll see.
98.
Yeah, man.
Getting into Strom Thurmond territory.
What has that guy seen? You know, you got to, it's, everyone wants to live a long time, but you want to live in interesting times too. And maybe, I mean, maybe I'm being naive about this, but it just kind of strikes me that if you happen to be born, you know, he was born in 1923. If you're born in 1523 and you hang out until 1620, I don't know how much you see. There's a lot of stuff involving smelting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we figured out a way to, since you've been born, we figured out a way to melt three other alloys.
More of the same.
But it just seemed like a lot of breakthroughs had to do with, like, smelting and tanning.
Yeah.
Leather and the things apothecary. Like that. Him, you say 1923? Mm-hmm. I mean, he probably grew up in a house with no phone in it.
Right, of course.
He's probably looking at his iPhone.
Probably no bathroom.
A day before he died, you know, talking to his great grandkids or whatever. I mean, goddamn. What was commercial air travel like in 1923? What
non-existent?
The Wright brothers are going off a hill.
Yeah, Shatner's going into space, you know. I mean, that's a chunk of time where a lot of shit went down.
And by, again, I'm ashamed not to know this. I'm looking at his Wikipedia. He enrolled at the University of Kansas the following fall after he graduated. Dole had been a star high school athlete in Russell, Kansas. And Kansas basketball coach Fog Allen traveled to Russell to recruit him to play for the Jayhawks.
Wow. He was a colonel in the Army. He was shot by a Nazi machine gun fire. His upper back at age 21 wasn't expected to live. So was he on the ground?
Yeah.
I guess he was.
That's why I had the arm.
Yeah.
Thing I'm supposing.
Yeah, the
can't
hand
open
thing.
His hand. Yeah. 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 Now, let's pivot a little bit to Chris Cuomo. So we heard a couple days ago that he was suspended indefinitely. Now he's terminated effective immediately from CNN. Now, there's another little sliver of information that we may have gotten about this. So the announcement came after an outside law firm was retained to review information about exactly how Cuomo aided Andrew Cuomo, the then governor accused of sexual harassment, among other things. A few hours after CNN's announcement, the New York Times reported that a lawyer told CNN of an allegation of sexual misconduct made against Chris Cuomo by a client of hers. According to the Times, the client is a former junior colleague of Cuomo's at another network. A CNN spokesperson said in a statement, based on the report we received regarding Chris's conduct with his brother's defense, we had cause to terminate. When new allegations came to us this week, we took them seriously and saw no reason to delay taking immediate action. And he is going to be replaced, it looks like, by Michael Smirkonish, who's going to do Cuomo Primetime, I assume, rename it.
Yeah, I don't think Smirkonish is likable. Like, Cuomo's had a lot of magnetism to him.
Great hair.
And I'm not sure. I mean, first off, The allegations of the inappropriate, you know, workplace, whatever. Oh, I mean, who knows? Who right. the fuck knows now? You're making, I mean, we just talked about the college professor right. commented that the person lost a lot of weight. You know, who knows what this could be?
But it's between that and everything else, it's enough for CNN to want to back away real quick.
Oh, yeah. That's how it works. But again, I always think of the mom. You know, your two sons were
all right.
riding so incredibly high a year ago. I mean, it was insanely high. And then also, she's like a 90-year-old woman. They got to say to her, like, what happened to Andrew? What happened to Chris? She's got to go like, he put his hand.
How do I explain this?
Andrew got on an elevator and then he put his hand on this woman's shoulder and. And then Chris was trying to help him.
The point is they're both fired.
They're both gone. They're both moved back in their old rooms.
I was going to say, where's the sitcom in this? They move home.
They got to move home. Yeah.
Because didn't Andrew move in temporarily with his sister? Wasn't that the report? Because she's famous. Or who is she married to? Like a designer? I got to look her up.
Sounds familiar. But either way, I think Chris has still got his Sirius XM job. I don't think he got shit canned
yeah,
from the radio
gig. Yeah,
because
he just made an announcement on that about how embarrassed he was and all that.
You know, I wonder if he's going to end up somewhere. I also wonder if you know, it's been a while. I mean, Matt Lauer's been on the bench for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder if he's making a comeback. But again, Matt Lauer's not really a creator. He's a kind of facilitator. Mm-hmm. He's a kind of a conduit. You know, you have to be careful. By the way, it has happened in front of the camera and behind the camera. There used to be tons of people that were non-writing producers on a sitcom or something. Everyone was just feeding from the trough.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would literally stand on stage and me and Jimmy would be, you know, going over cue cards and rehearsing the man show. And I could see these people eating.
Literally.
just craft service.
You're trying to work out a bit.
Yeah, I'll have another one of those quesadillas. And they're just like eating. And they're like, that guy's getting paid more than me. He had nothing to do with the show. But they were all kissed in.
Yep.
Right? And so there's a lot of fat in the business. And a lot of guys like Matt Lauer, they didn't really create content. They just reported it or they facilitated it or they whatever. We're going lean and mean. We're thin in the herd a lot. There's not those non-writing producers. The aforementioned Seth MacFarlane, he's a creator. He's always going to get paid.
You
can't stop him from getting paid. But the folks that just kind of read the prompter, we can get schmuckarmish to do that.
We've kind of seen the difference between, say, the Mel Gibsons of the world who may have, you know, perpetrated whatever, but they are a creator. That guy's a genius. He's a great director. He's a writer, whatever. And, like, what's the difference between Matt Lauer and Chris Harrison?
Right.
Honestly, what is the ultimate difference? It's just kind of just there hosting.
Traffic copying.
Oh, now this, now this, now this.
No, they're just throwing it.
Did whatever the Matt Lauer probably did a lot worse. But you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Actually, is potentially an offensive person.
I can't.
The Matt Lauer. I think there's going to be more of the Matt Lauer thing. There's not as much meat on that bone as we think. He has a sort of side to it that seems pretty plausible. But
Matt Lauer?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard this.
He's got. Well, you got to sit next to Garrigus because Garrigus hates these. He takes the guy's side, but you can look it up, Chris, I guess, or Dawson, or someone. There is. It's not all that cut and dry with Matt Lauer.
With the button and the desk.
There's more to it. Well, the number one chick who was going after him was also stalking him, like showing up at his house, sexting him, and all that kind of stuff. If there's an incident where you're accused of rape or inappropriate or whatever it is. That's pretty damning. But then if there's a bunch of shit after that incident of you sexting the person or coming to their house or whatever it is,
it muddies the waters a
little different light gets shed on it. Chris can look. Sorry, did you find something? Or
looking up horses.
Okay.
Still.
Google
Matt Lauer
right.
Wanted a horse?
Yeah, so there may be another. But no, Brian's right. You can't just be a traffic cop. You have to build cars.
Yeah. Right.
That's a direct Braveheart.
Right.
What I heard is that you are a absolute anti-Semite, and this is the first I'm hearing of it, with your defense of Mel Gibson.
Oh, it's all about me? The guy makes great movies.
Color-based sugar tits.
Mia Farrow revealed that one of Lauer's alleged victims, Brooke Nevels.
Mia Farrow?
No, Ronan.
Ronan. One of his alleged victims named Brooke Nevels said Lauer anally raped her in his hotel room while the two were in Sochi covering the Olympics.
That's what I mean.
But Farrow also writes that Brooke had additional sexual encounters with Lauer after the initial incident, but she characterized those as, quote, transactional and consented only out of fear that Lauer had over her career.
But I think she followed him around a little. I think there was something about her stalking him a little bit, but
afterwards, saying, "Hey, there's my rapist."
Yeah,
that's the story I got.
Okay.
But anyway,
well, this latest school shooting, I just want to bring
the
it up.
Guys who, the guys who go for anal,
booger eater,
you know, during that first encounter, I'll never have my self esteem will never be so high that I could attempt anal on the first session,
date.
You know what I mean?
On a work trip.
It's
those cardboard beds.
Look, maybe you cop a glance at some side boob or something, but
that's
anal,
quite an escalation.
You know, work.
Yeah.
A coworker, that's a fucking tall one right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. so we heard about this kid and
by the way, you never go anal first date. You never go anal because when you're cheating, you can't go anal.
Do tell.
Why?
Tell you why. Been married to a woman for 14 years. Mm-hmm. She's got a pretty good idea of which way the wind is blowing anally.
Under lock and key.
You know what I'm saying?
The pattern has been established.
It's look, here's the thing about Brian. Mm-hmm. Inexplicably, he doesn't like grapefruit.
Yeah.
Does mm-hmm. not like grapefruit. If you're accused of stealing grapefruit.
No one would believe it.
And if we said to Christy, yeah. like, he's ready, she'd be like,
you got the wrong guy.
Not his thing. But what if you're accused of stealing a USC jersey or something? I was going to say, yeah, that's.
The prints are all over that.
Certainly sounds like. Well, if Matt Lauer's begging his wife for anal every Friday night, and then the anal.
Fucking a grapefruit?
You know what I mean?
A microwave grapefruit. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you make a solid point.
This is why you always have to, you eat a ton of pussy yep. and you go, tell me as many stories as you can about yourself. Mm-hmm. And then.
So you can cover your tracks
your
later.
Your long-suffering wife. That is not.
And keep no that butthole covered way. Up.
No stories about her? No. Pussy? No. Not eat? No.
You got the wrong guy.
You got the wrong guy. You go anal, it's a towel.
That right. sounds like my Matt.
Mm-hmm.
This is all making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, truth teller, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So prosecutors in Oakland County, Michigan, have charged the parents of the 15-year-old shooter who killed four students at Oxford High School on Tuesday.
I've always said this.
Yeah, so let me just give you a little info. I also heard a little more coming in. Jennifer and James Crumbly, those are the parents, are charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter for making the murder weapon available to their son. Prosecutor Karen McDonald called their actions far beyond negligence. James Crumbly, the father, purchased the gun just 4 days before the mass shooting. I heard on the way here it was a Christmas present for the son. Oh, it's unclear exactly how the son got the gun. The son is charged with murder, terrorism, and other crimes. I was listening to, I want to say, Up First, and they said it was a Christmas present to the kid. It wasn't locked up, though that's not illegal in Michigan. And a lot of, like, weird shit, like, the son, who whatever his name is, I don't want to include it, said like he was drawing these really disturbing pictures and like bloody people and like a bullet, and says like something like, I don't have anything to live for. And the school notified the parents and they were like uninterested. Mm-hmm. And the mom at one point even texted him like LOL, and it was just they were not.
She said LOL and she's like, you gotta pretend or fake or you gotta do a better job of hiding your tracks or whatever. It's pretty damning shit. So I, who have been saying since 1995 on Loveline, sorry parents, I want the parents held liable for crimes. And it's like, look, once a kid passes 18 or moves out of the house or whatever, becomes emancipated, so be it. But I look at your kid as your dog. You're basically your pet. If you got a dog that's prone to biting and you leave the gate open and the dog gets down the street and bites the toddler, that's on you.
Yeah.
And I would, first things first, but look, there's no way to prevent There's no real way to prevent school shootings or mall shootings or, you know, country western concert shootings. Look, there's no way to fully police it. You just can't. It's unpreventable. As long as there are people who want to leave their house with a gun and do this. Now, there is someone who lives at that house with those people who want to live. It's a home front sort of prevention thing. We can do crime that involves, you know, putting up bars and having cops, you know, in front of the jewelry store, like that kind of sort of, maybe even like your bank robbery sort of stuff, maybe a little bit. But these kinds of random, indiscriminate, whatever, the only one who really prevents that are the parents.
Right.
And we need to deputize those parents. But really what we need to do is get some skin in the game with these things, because nobody wants their son to go to prison, but no one wants them to go to prison. And if that's out, you know, when you put that on the parent, like, hey, man, this little kid goes nuts, and guess what? You won't have to visit him in prison. Every day will be a visiting day for you. It'll be the shower. I think you would certainly motivate more parents to, like any parent, like you do with a dog. When you just, when you realize you got a dog that, you know, snapped at the mailman and stuff, then there's like, don't leave the door open. Don't leave the gate open. It's a little, you have, your head's a little bit on a swivel. Now, unfortunately, I will then take this also and steer it into whatever the kid was in Chicago who was shot and killed because it was like 3 a.m. and he was just firing guns into the firing rounds into the community, and he was like 13
in the on the playground or whatever.
No, it was a shots fired thing. Okay. Chris can look it up. It was this very split second thing where he was running and he was like lifting the gun up and a cop shot him. It was another shot. All right, that kid's 13. It's Wednesday. It's 4:45 in the morning. Hey, parent, what's that kid doing? And then you go, now that parent would go, by the way, the people that want these parents locked up probably don't want that parent locked up. I would say if you got a kid, he's out there with a gun and he's wreaking havoc in the community, let's just get on the same page. That's fair. Now, the parent would say, I can't control the kid. I can't control the kid. Mm-hmm. Probably in the inner city story, I can't control. Fine. Then you got to go to the police. Mm-hmm. And you got to go, I got a son. Mm-hmm. He's got a gun.
Turn him in.
He's running around. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that reminds me that Dylan Klebold's mother, remember, he was one of the Columbine guys. She's been on a speaking tour for years. She does TED Talks. She does tours. And
really? I don't know that.
Oh, yeah.
She's in that horse show, I think.
Yeah, she's in Cavalia.
That's part where we bring it down.
Sure, sure, sure. You know
and I mean? And I think that there's, I would imagine there's merit to that. I would imagine there's something to it. I mean, you know, but.
Is she talking about gun violence? I have to assume.
Yeah, and about, you know, how I've seen literally a 5-minute TED Talk, but I know she does these. And it was not really absolving her, but like, you know, how we had a normal house and you never know and, you know, pay attention to your kids. But.
I, you know, Sonny's getting to that school shooting age.
Wait,
and,
what?
You know, he hangs out with his buddies and eats like hamburgers and watch goofy movies. Like, I feel like if he was, had a dark glasses and a hoodie on, you know, dressed like the Unabomber and was scribbling out swastikas everywhere with blood and stuff, like, I'd have some feelings. Mm-hmm. I think I'd know. And then he's like, I'm going to purchase an AR-15. Like, I think I would know.
Yeah.
You would know.
I'm going to give a recommendation for a really excellent documentary called Far From the Tree, as in the apple forest, far from the tree. A couple years ago, it's about like 5 kids, all of whom are vastly different from the parents. Some have developmental disabilities. Some are like dwarfs, like primordial dwarfs, you know what I mean? And then there's one story about a kid who pulled off a horrific crime, a horrific murder, and his parents are featured in the documentary. He's in prison, you know what I mean, for killing this little kid. And the parents are, by all means, you know, just normal, cheerful people. Not cheerful, you know what I mean? Normal people. Right. You're next door neighbors. And the point is, there's shades of gray, man. Sometimes kids can be just, you know, just go off the deep
well,
end.
Well, But
do you notice or not?
Well, I mean,
alluded to some warning signs.
There's outlier kind of the problem with kind of how we are as a society now, where you know we keep going, you know, two parents focus on education, and someone goes, I know a black kid, his dad was a junkie, he was in prison, all that guy's at Harvard right now. It's like, yeah, okay, get it.
There are exceptions.
It happens. Yeah. When there's kids that just sheer lug nut and go on a killing sprees. But in general, it certainly, we could cut into school shootings and gang shooting. We could take a real bite out of crime here if this was something that was sort of universally applied. But more importantly, Max Spana, you know.
Any horses?
I think, yeah, about horses. The magazine, the Ferrari owner's magazine, the prancing horse, I think it's called Cavallino.
Ooh. Oh, look at you.
So Cavallo.
Cavalier or whatever.
Cavallia, whatever it is. It's got something to do with a horse, I figured out, through watching 10 minutes of horses. Mm-hmm. But also, I think I can make some connection between the Cavallino and the Cavallo. That's
Cavalry?
Gina. March 2021, Adam Toledo, 13-year-old Latino American boy shot by Chicago PD, body cam here, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was three in the morning, and he was just, they called the cops because he was firing rounds into the city at 13. By the way, probably never had a bar mitzvah.
What?
But I would argue when my buddy Nate Wittenberg turned 13, he was much less man than this young guy was firing. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Any orifice is whatever. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Yeah, what's the origins of the Cavo? That must be some horsey, because you're right. Cavalry, Cavallino, Cavallo.
Cavallo is Latin for horse.
There we go.
There you go. All right, last but not least, there's Fight Camp. Want to make 2022 your best year yet? Revolutionize how you work out. Fight Camp. You can learn to box and kickbox and do it at home. World-class programming, elite trainers, premium equipment, and smart tech. Thousands of classes, new workouts added each week. Fight Camp provides real-time data during your workouts so you can track your progress, work toward guided goals, and see just how much you're improving. And you don't get bored because when you're just running on a treadmill, it's so endless. This is you actually exercising your brain and your body. Full body workout, best of cardio and strength training, all in one, and all the gear you need, freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves. It's all there at Fight Camp, right, Dawson?
Now is the best time to get your Fight Camp. Take advantage of their holiday deal going on now. If you purchase this December, you'll get an additional pair of gloves for free. Just go to fightcamp.com/Adam. To get an additional pair of gloves for free during December, go to joinfightcamp.com/Adam. Joinfightcamp.com/Adam.
All right. You can go to amcroll.com. A live show's coming up, improv, December 15th. Taping shows there with TJ Miller and Patrick Warburton. Patrick's almost sold out, but TJ, we got some tickets left for. And then us heading out to Portland, December 22nd, 23rd. Four shows doing it live. And you can check out our chassis channel, 687 on Pluto TV. All free. Lots of good docs there. So, till next time. It's Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo. I need more people that have my skin tone to hang out with so I feel comfortable.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Catch him on Instagram and the Facebook at Adam Carolla. Gina Grad's on the podcast Easy Listening. Paul Bryan's on the Film Vault. The rest of us are in the water cooler. But sell out Brea. Get your tickets now to see the Ace Man live in Brea at the Improv at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.